This story that I'm about to tell contains about 90% of the message I hope to share this morning. And you've heard it from me before, but not in the same way or for the same reason. Here's the story. Two battleships assigned to the training squadron had been at sea on maneuvers in heavy weather. As night fell on the third day, visibility was poor with patchy fog, so the captain himself remained on the bridge, keeping an eye on everything. Shortly after dark, the captain looked out on the wing of the bridge and reported light bearing on the starboard bow. Is it steady or moving astern? The lookout replied, "Steady, Captain," which meant the two ships were on a dangerous collision course. The captain then called to the signalman, "Signal that ship. We are on a collision course. Advise you change your course 20 degrees. Back came a signal. Advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. The captain said, "Send, I'm a captain. Change your course 20 degrees. I'm a seaman, second class," came the reply. "You had better change your course 20 degrees. By that time, the captain was furious. He spat out, "Send, I'm a battleship. Change course 20 degrees. Back came the flashing light. "I am a lighthouse." I haven't been too subtle here, have I? This is a sermon about truth. And in my story, the lighthouse is truth, don't you think? Truth is really important to the church. I attended a Presbyterian seminary, and I learned, according to the PCUSA, the six great purposes of the church, or the six great ends of the church. And one of those six is the preservation of the truth. And preservation of the truth suggests to me that we know what the truth is, that we own it, we possess it, we can package and preserve it. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And I believe he meant it. And I believe it's important. I don't have any problem at all with what he said. I have a little bit of a problem with what we do with it. Jesus said, "I am the way of the living, the way of goodness." The first Christians were called followers of the way. They lived with, learned from, and followed the way of Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the truth. The real deal, the one against whom all others will be judged." Jesus said, "I am the life, the creator of physical life, the giver of spiritual life, the promise of a whole and healed life." Jesus made all these claims, but here's one of the things I've been thinking about this week. How often do you hear people talking about the way as if they have it all figured out? How often do people say, "I know for certain that the way I follow Jesus is right"? Or do you ever hear people talking about life as though it's a fortune inside a cookie? "I have life all figured out. It's right here. I can define life in 10 words or less." We don't usually hear that. We don't often say that. Because we understand that the way and the life are huge, conceptual, never grasp it all part of the divine mystery. But the truth. We Christians are notorious for our cavalier attitude about the truth. Oh, we may not know everything, but we know the truth. I don't know about you, but I think maybe a reality check is good here. The truth. What did Jesus mean by it? In the book that we're basing our series on, Christ in Crisis, the best-selling author and renowned speaker, Christian activist Jim Wallace argues that our cultural and political crisis, this crisis we seem to be in right now, largely stems from how the American church has become disconnected from the teachings of Jesus Christ. And in his fourth chapter, The Truth Question, he points out a few things, and I'm just going to run through them. And he starts with key gospel texts about the truth. And here are some of them. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. That's from the first chapter of John. And the law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That also is from the first chapter of John. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Wallace goes through the whole list of these mentions of truth and the things Jesus said about truth and the things he wanted us to know about truth. And he gets to the end of this long list and he says simply, if you are paying attention, you realize how relational all these texts are. Truth, he says, at least in John's gospel, is about much more than just the facts. He says that in John, the truths are manifest as faithfulness, obedience, loyalty to God. And so, Wallace says, truth is about the choices that we make that determine our spiritual lives. That truth, he says, is about who we believe and who we follow. Relational. So let me share another story, one that I'm sure you have also heard, but not exactly for this reason. It is a fable, a poem by John Godfrey Sachs based on a fable from India. Here's the poem. It was six men of Indistan, to learning much inclined, who went to see an elephant, though all of them were blind, that each by observation might satisfy his mind. The first approached the elephant, and happening to fall against his broad and sturdy side, at once began to bawl, "God bless me, but the elephant is very like a wall." The second, feeling of the tusk, cried, "Ho, what have we here so very round and smooth and sharp? To me 'tis mighty clear this wonder of an elephant is very like a spear." The third approached the animal, and happening to take the squirming trunk within his hands, thus boldly up and spake, "I see," quoth he, "the elephant is very like a snake." The fourth reached out an eager hand and felt about the knee. "What most this wondrous beast is like is mighty plain," quoth he. "'Tis clear enough the elephant is very like a tree." The fifth, who chanced to touch the ear, said, "E'en the blindest man can tell what this resembles most. Deny the fact who can, this marvel of an elephant is very like a fan." The sixth no sooner had begun about the beast to grope than seizing on the swinging tail that fell within his scope, "I see," quoth he, "the elephant is very like a rope." And so these men of Indistan disputed loud and long, each in his own opinion, exceeding stiff and strong, though each was partly in the right, all were in the wrong. How many of you have heard this story before? How many teachers or parents have shared it with your children? What's in this lesson? I've heard the story many times. I've read it to children. I've alluded to it, but I never thought about it in exactly the way I've come to think of it this week. This week, I've seen this story as an illustration of the nature of truth. Truth with a capital T. We can have a piece of it and still be wrong. You know, we have no reason to believe that the men in the story ever got it right. The story ends with all of them having a very clear idea about one piece of the elephant. We have no reason to believe that they compared notes, that they went back to the elephant, that they traded places, that they changed their perspectives. And it makes me think, our only hope is to come together, as the church with all of our abilities, with all of our faith, with all of our experiences, each one bringing a piece and an experience and a gift and a desire to know the truth. And then, even if we see the entire elephant, we're not done. Because we still don't know if it's African or Asian, male, female, age, life, history. We don't know the elephant, even if we've seen the elephant. Even when we start to gather the facts, we don't know the elephant. We don't know what makes the elephant cry. And elephants do cry. We don't know what delights the elephant. We don't know the elephant. If we are limited to our one piece, like the men in the story, we'll never know the majesty of the elephant. And I think it's ironic that while we probably wouldn't presume to know the elephant, we will presume to know the truth. We will read a portion of our Bibles or listen to one scholar proclaim to know the truth, and suddenly we hold the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. But think about the elephant. If we wanted to know the elephant, we could follow it. We could follow along like Diane Fossey followed the mountain gorillas. Live with the elephant. Learn from the elephant. Study the elephant. Become intimately acquainted with its ways. And then we may begin to know the truth of the elephant. So let me take us back to truth. Here's the thing. We are quick to define Jesus Christ within the confines of our own minds and of our own language. And when we read that Jesus is the truth, we immediately run that through our rational minds. And the truth ceases to be something amazing and life-changing and becomes instead the facts. Nothing but the facts. And one misunderstanding leads to another. We read, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And we believe that if we just uncover the facts have the power to free us. What is a sin? What is not a sin? What is the most important verse? No, the facts mean nothing. If we limit the truth to mere facts, they mean nothing. So now listen to the scripture story. This is the night before Jesus is to be crucified on the cross. They took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." And Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." And the Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" One of the things I found in studying this week was that I have read this wrong in my mind so many times that I have made my own scripture. So Pilate says to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus says, "Are you asking me because you think I'm the king of the Jews or because you've heard people say that I'm the king of the Jews?" And Pilate says, "How should I know? How should I know you? I'm not a Jew." And Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom's not from here." And Pilate asked, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king." And this is where I've been reading this wrong for my whole life. No stop. "You say that I am a king, for this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." I've been reading it that way my whole life. "You say that I am a king, and for this I was born, to be a king." But that's not what it says. "You say that I am a king." Stop. "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." And then Pilate asked, "What is truth?" Here's what Jesus said. "Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice, not everyone to whom the truth belongs. "I am the truth," Jesus said. "Everyone who belongs to the truth, everyone who belongs to me, listens to my voice." And perhaps that is what this story is meant to teach us. Pilate was trying to get to the truth, to know things. Is this what people are saying? Is this the truth? Do you call yourself a king? I'm not a Jew. How would I know? And that's the point. Pilate was making no effort to know Jesus. He just wanted the facts. A man named Stan Mitchell wrote a short piece. I'm going to share some of it with you because I think this gets so much to the heart of the matter. Jesus asked people to follow him, Mitchell says, never to worship him. Truth be told, worshiping gods is far easier than following the examples of truly good people. Worship can actually be a cop-out for personal responsibility. Mitchell goes on, venerating, praising, and hallowing, whether the object be heavenly gods or earthly greats, can be little more than self-preservation, false humility, or ostensible devotion. It is often a self-serving deflection that says the lofty other is so exceptional, I could not possibly live their life, nor am I responsible to. Jesus knew all this, Mitchell says, and so he called people to follow him, to take his place. He believed in us, Mitchell says, and in the end, that may be more fundamental to Christianity than us believing in him. And this is how he ends. Now that's a Christianity that makes sense to me. That's a living, breathing movement possessing the potential to truly change the world for the better instead of wistfully and romantically staring at the sky while Rome burns. I want to end the day by returning to the lighthouse story because I love that story. Change your course, the voice said. I am a lighthouse. And I suggested it would not be rash to understand that the lighthouse represents the truth. Immortal, immovable, monolithic, thousands upon thousands and tons of stone and brick and mortar, strong in the storm, port in the storm. It wouldn't be rash to say that the lighthouse is the truth. But it wouldn't be wise. Here's what I realized this week, thanks to Jim Wallace's chapter on truth and the voices of wisdom he included with his own. The truth, as evidenced in the Gospels, is relational. I find it in relation to Jesus. I find it by following Jesus. And oh, it's elusive. Not like a lighthouse at all. Not something I can grab hold of once and for all and claim to possess and criticize others for distorting. The truth is not the lighthouse. Standing there like a king, like a fortress, like a cross, like a tomb. No, these are not the truth. They bear witness to the truth. The real truth is what issues from these symbols. What I can catch glimpses of, the real truth is not the lighthouse. It's the light and the voice. I am the lighthouse. Hear my voice. See my light. Follow me. We're going to sing just a little bit to sort of bring this in.
You of God once again. You are the voice of